Things can get a little woozy after, raise your hand, after 8 p.m., after 7:30. So we're going to get underway. If I could ask you to quiet down and tune in up front, please. Thank you so much. I feel like interrupting a group of women who are talking is just, it borders on rude, but it's just difficult because I know you're having so much fun. So we are going to get to know Courtney a little bit up here. One of the main things we've incorporated into our time this weekend is our small group discussions. We've recruited a group of women who are serving this weekend as table hostesses. We've been talking with them about the importance of our small groups, something that we weave into our women's ministries in various ways. And so we're going to talk some with Courtney about that. But first, at the break, there were some of you who told me you're very interested in knowing about Courtney's Kansas roots. Woohoo! So let's see, who are the native Kansans in the crowd? Let's have a show of hands. If you're not a native, show us your hands. Okay. Well, it's a special land here, Kansas. And Courtney, tell us about your story, where you're born and raised and all that.
Well, I actually wasn't born in Kansas.
Oh, sorry.
I know. That's why I didn't know if I could. We moved to Wichita when I was in fourth grade, or right before fourth grade, and obviously stayed there through high school. My parents are still in Wichita. And stayed there through high school, and then left for college and got married. We were in Mississippi for a couple years, and Dallas for a couple years, and then we moved back to Kansas. And we had a little short stint in 94, but from 97 until 2010, we were in Wichita. So I was there as a child, and then we really raised the kids there, especially the boys. They were out of the house when we moved.
But I do know that she is not a Jayhawk. Her brother went to KU. But both she and I are not Jayhawks. We're grafted in, as the saying goes.
But in some ways, KU is responsible for my marriage, because I didn't think about this until you were talking, but my best friend in high school and I, she was going to KU. She went to KU, and I was going to University of Oklahoma. So we were going to two different schools. And she said, before we part for college, summer between high school and college, why don't you come with me to a family reunion in Copper Mountain, Colorado? And I told her no at first, because I thought I had this big important thing going on. But I decided, no, I really should go. So she is my husband's third cousin. So I'm up at Copper Mountain, Colorado, hanging out with a bunch of old people. And my mother-in-law, who is the one who is not doing well, she called him and said, there's a girl you need to meet. You should get some friends and get up here. So, but if my friend hadn't been going to KU, right, I wouldn't have said, thank you, KU. I never thought of it before, right? Wow. Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Her brother has trained her well and I just want to say, I don't even know any third cousins. So, but yes, we'd also like to thank KU, because we think some of you are going to stay home and watch the game tonight. But then you came, because there's not a game on tonight. Well, anyway, when I found Courtney's name through Mark McElmurray, who used to be on our staff here at Grace and attended here for many years with his family. He and I worked together. I was working as the children's director, and Mark was our youth pastor when we had our church offices in a basement of Westminster Inn on 6th Street. And we worshiped at Deerfield School, and all our children's supplies were in the custodian closet. But Mark recommended Courtney, and so when we got in touch and talked over the phone, well, first off, I should say, I looked at her website, and she had written this course called From Garden to Glory, an overview of the redemptive history of Scripture, an overview, a big picture of what God does from beginning to end. And I was so excited, because that really went along with what we're doing this year in our women's Bible studies for those of us who are reading through from beginning to end. And, you know, it's a little awkward to try to recruit a retreat speaker. Hey, any chance you can speak on the book of Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you know, this little window. So I was excited because I thought, well, she's got this big picture under her belt. Maybe she'll jump in. And we talked on the phone, and one of the first things she tells me about what she enjoys about women's retreats is that she enjoys the small groups. And I'm thinking, this is sort of different than what I expected, because I'm thinking, hey, upfront type teacher, she's going to want to maximize her time at the microphone, she likes to talk in front of big groups of people. But you said your favorite thing about women's retreats is the small groups. So can you unpack that a little for us, what you like so much?
Sure, I don't like to maximize my time at the microphone. I really think that the real ministry occurs sitting around the tables and talking. And I think it's because, you know, we tend to think of our Christian faith as just me and Jesus. And it's not. It's always about the people of God. There's the corporate aspect of our faith is huge. And if we try to live our Christian life very individualistically, if we try to just sort of live it alone, and what's really important is just, you know, if Jesus and I've got this, we're good. And that's just not true, because we need sisters in Christ to speak into our life, to help us, to hold us accountable, to encourage us. And so what happens is, when you all can sit around and have, you know, maybe you meet somebody for coffee, or maybe you sit here and you talk about something that you've either learned tonight, or, you know, that you heard a friend say, what happens is you're doing it in the context of relationship. And so, like, just say this table right here. And if you shared something and she heard it and she knows what's going on in your life, she hears the gospel message through the lens of your life. And then she hears it through the lens of her life. It's like on Sunday mornings when you hear the sermon or you're singing a praise song, and you look around the church, people that you know well, because we're supposed to know the people at church pretty well, at least some of them. And you look around and you hear that song and you hear the words differently because you know what's going on in their life. And so this idea of understanding the gospel in the context of relationships is huge. And that is, you know, yeah, somebody can stand up here and talk for a little while and teach some things, but until you take it and you actually wrestle it out and talk about it in the context of knowing each other, I don't think it really settles in our hearts very well. So small groups are actually, to me, the most important part. So table discussions and conversations that hopefully you'll have leaving here are actually, to me, where it all really kind of the rubber hits the road. So.
Yeah, thank you. I think that my experience early on in ministry was that I thought, well, if I just get a bunch of women and put them in a room, they can have a small group discussion. You know, won't it work out? Like, that's natural. We're talkers, or we'll get together and do things socially, or what have you. But I feel like it takes more maybe structure and deliberate reaching out than that. There's a lot of things in life and with relationships that we all know take practice. You know, they don't just come naturally, even though that's what we were made for. We need practice at relationships. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what you envision taking place in a small group, or in a discussion, a table discussion, I'm kind of using those interchangeably, or not taking place. You know, what happens in a setting like this, or maybe not so much?
Love that question, because it does have an intentionality to it. We have a discipleship program at our church, and I've got two really sweet friends who say, no, we don't want to be part of it because we disciple each other. And so I'm like, well, what do you do? They meet once a week for coffee. Okay, that is a great friendship. That is a really fun friendship. But I promise you, they're not actually, because there's something different it's fun and it's relationship building to sit at your tables and just catch up and get to know each other. I mean, that's important too. But when we actually say small group discussion, it's where we venture into sort of an intentional conversation about an idea or about something we're wrestling with or a struggle or a victory, or it's sharing, it's kind of, there's some vulnerability to it. And it's an intentional sharing so that, yes, your relationship deepens, but you're actually inviting people into your story and your life a little bit. And so what I would hope would happen is that you make space at your tables for everybody to share something. Some of us like to talk. Some of us are the first ones to answer the question. Some of y'all, I should say, that's very much me. I love to just jump into that silence and say something. And there are others, so we were talking earlier, I'm an external processor. Most of the time, I don't even know what I'm thinking until I hear it come out of my mouth. I mean, that's, you know, it sounds funny, but it's true. It's like, oh, okay, as I'm talking, like eventually something's gonna come out. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I believe. And so that's an external processor. It's all out here, and then I can understand what I'm actually thinking. Like right now, I'm externally processing in front of you guys, right here. But an internal processor, they want to think about it first. I have a friend who says, I like to think about it and journal it and think about it and journal it and then come up with how I'm going to express it and then give my answer. I have another friend who said in small, she's an internal processor, this other one, and she said in small groups, she needs about a 10-second window of silence before she can actually, and it's not lack of courage, it's just, I've got to think about it in here. So make space at your tables for the external processors, they'll be the first ones answering, and then make space for the internal processors so that everybody has a chance to talk and to just share at some level what you're learning or what's going on in your life and where the gospel's intersecting that.
I love that phrase she's using, make space. It just sounds spacious and inviting. And I know that's redundant, but you know, that's kindness too. And hearing about the different ways that we approach things, you know, the jumping in, let me process my thoughts out loud. I know that's something that's, to my husband, really confusing, you know, because I'll start out over here at point A, I'll get over to point B. Yes, point B, that's what I think, honey. And he'll, well, you started over here at point A, don't you think that? Well, not anymore. Because I just connected all my dots and I'm over here.
I've convinced myself, yeah.
So it's, you know, you might look across the table and think this friend is crazy because she's traveled along from A to B and so forth, but that's just what some of us really need. We need a space to be able to talk that through and work out our thoughts with someone else, reflecting some things back to us or nodding along, you're not crazy. You moved from A to B, or yeah, you're wrestling with something. So I appreciate that, making space for one another and the different ways that we process things. I think one thing I've heard from some of you, and this sort of goes along with your lady friends who go out for coffee because they don't want to participate in a group or whatever. How do you respond to that? Because I know like some of us have said we're introverts. Hey, that's not really for me. Or some ladies have told me that's more of a generational need. Like, hey, this generation likes to talk through things and this generation not so much. So can you help us understand a little of your thoughts about how we reconcile those thoughts about who we are with what the scripture calls us to in terms of, you know, fitting together and working things out as a body?
That's another great question. I think that we all need to kind of be aware of what our own proclivities are. So, you know, scripture calls us to be known and calls the church to be the place that happens. I mean, the the reference to the church more often than not is called the family of God. So he views it as a household, as a family. And that's how he wants us to interact. And so, you know, there is a generational trend to it. There's a personality piece that plays into it. And so who are you in that? Are you somebody that is very closed off and really doesn't share, you know, the struggles? A woman who helps me with Bible study, she's 85 years old, I love her, and we're doing Melissa Kruger's book, The Envy of Eve, and Betty is so sweet. She's like, God is just really working on my heart in this area. And I love that she's willing to share what the Lord is doing in her heart with the sin of envy and coveting. I mean, that's just an amazing thing to me. It's a great model to me. And so some people are so closed off that they would never share at that level. And others of us, you know, we just want to be known, and we want you to know everything, you know, about me. I mean, I want to go to coffee and I'll tell you everything in 10 minutes. And you know, we need to hold back a little bit and have a little bit of wisdom in that, knowing what to share and when. But how are we doing at being known and also taking the time to know others? And so I would just say move towards those two things. Be willing to take baby steps to be known and to know someone else.
That's great. That's good encouragement of moving toward. That will probably look different for all of us.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, at these tables or in our circles, no pun intended, round tables. Okay, is anyone awake? Come on now. Okay. But that looks different for each one of us, but we have to, I think you're encouraging us to really think, am I moving toward the body? Am I moving toward, or am I staying away and keeping myself walled off? A friend of mine uses the phrase that I really love called, she says, redemptive relationships happen in the body of Christ. But I don't think that happens unless we, like Courtney said, are allowing ourselves to be known. Because some of the things that I need, I'm not going to receive and have redeemed and healed and touched if I am hiding. And I think when you are using that phrase of moving toward one another, you know, there are times when someone can move toward me with what I need to hear, with forgiveness or encouragement or listening or kindness or space. But I have to let myself be known in order to receive that. And we need redemptive relationships because we have places that need that balm. And sometimes we really need that from another person. So that's something I so appreciate about encouraging small group interaction, discussion, relationships like these. So what do you think we miss out on? I mentioned redemptive relationships. What else do you think we miss when we stay back, when we pull back, or don't enter in?
I think we miss really the depth of what it is to be that kind of friend. We can gravitate toward easy friends. We can gravitate toward surface friends. We can gravitate toward all of our conversations being, you know, pretty surfacey conversations. I was just talking to Jordan over the break, and I grew up with don't take this too far, but because there's a redemptive piece in it. I grew up with a little piece of paper on our phone desk in my mom's kitchen, and it said, little people talk about other people, average people talk about things, and great people talk about ideas. Well, it was a really shaping thing for me to read over and over because I spent a lot of time on the phone. And, you know, you could just sit there and read that over and over. And so, you know, if you take that and you put a gospel twist on that, if our, we all, I mean, of course, we're all going to at some point talk about people. We all love to talk about things. I mean, I'm looking at a new couch or whatever, you know, I mean, that's fun. It's part of what we enjoy as women and in our friendships. So that's what I'm saying. Don't take it too far. But are you having conversations about ideas? Are you having conversations about the gospel and what it's actually doing? And so how do you become intentional about moving some of your friendships toward deeper conversations, toward, like you said, redemptive relationships? And how do we learn to become what I call gospel friends? And that's, I mean, that to me is a friend that I am moving toward, you know, more emotional health in it. And at the same time, so are my friends. And that's a beautiful thing. So, you know, the things that the Lord has or is in the process of refining out of me, which would be, you know, very quick to give an answer. I mean, I could be very quick to solve someone's problem. You know, that was in small group with somebody. Oh, let me tell you what you need to do. You know, learning not to do that, but learning just to sit with somebody in their struggle or their pain and not have an answer for it. Just sit with them. And then when there is a time to speak into it, and to receive the same thing in my life, to have somebody speak back into my life. And so look for those friends and invest in those friends, grow those friendships, and friendships are grown through time together. So have that be the friend that you go grab coffee with. And even say, hey, can we be intentional about having some of our conversation every time be about and name it? Jordan and I were talking about maybe, you know, reading a book with somebody together and then talking about those ideas or whatever it is. But moving your relationships into something deeper and more significant than just other people or things all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... it brings to mind, too, when you're saying sometimes we need to just sit with someone, that we can ask for that, too. You know, I think we can all think of times when, I mean, I'm like you, or what I'm hearing you describe, that I want to fix things because I care. But sometimes we need to just ask, you know, I just need to talk about this, and I need you to listen. You know, I just need someone to listen right now. I say that to my husband. I'm guessing if you have a husband, you might have had to say that before. I just want to tell you this. I need some poor baby right now. You know, I don't need fixing. But we can do that too to one another. We jump in. You know, we have great ideas. Oh, I can brainstorm with you. Have you tried this? I can recommend links online, books I've read, people to call. But I mean, sitting in it with somebody, that is a gift. Mm-hmm. That's a real gift, just to sit in it sometimes with people. So let's ask for that, you know? Don't be afraid to ask for that. What else? What comes to your mind? Small groups? Anything else? We want to leave a little time for you ladies to practice some of this, right? You know? And talk a bit more, but what else, anything else you want to talk with them about before we cut them loose? Or
just say enjoy each other. Just know that this time and these people at your table, the Lord ordained mm-hmm. your tables, and enjoy the people at your table. They are God's gift to you, so mm-hmm. enjoy.
Thank you, that's good encouragement.